ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In the meantime, if you're all set and ready, you know what, so am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions, 5 categories. Our categories are category number 1, movies with a body part in the title. All right. Movies with a body part in the title. Category number 2, British TV. Category number 3, numbers and letters. Category number 4, dance. And category number 5, First Wives Club. Movies with a body part in the title. British TV, numbers and letters, dance, First Wives Club. Stuart from Victor Harbour is going to kick us off as a well-known opening bat. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Stuart. Stephen. Hello, yeah, Stuart. How are you?
I was close. That's my brother's name, so that's okay.
Oh, is it?
Stephen,
okay.
Yeah.
What, are all the kids in the family start with an S?
I know my brother, Stephen Martin.
Oh, Martin. Okay.
And, unfortunately, my two brothers are blind as well.
Oh, okay. Wasn't...
Well, I'm just chucking that in. But yeah, what? Things are okay. Well, you got any brothers? Oh, you got brothers, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know that book you're just talking about. So I knew that the government says the government's going to go broke here. You know, and when you got Malinowskis, all he can talk about is golf, gather round, and possibly.
Well, he can't talk about golf anymore because Liv's collapsed. Liv's gone broke.
But the whole thing is just. I don't know what's holding the state together. It's throwing money around. The federal government put money into Whyalla. So did the state government. I think we're going to have another bank collapse like a state bank in 1990 with Bannon.
Stewie, I'm taking the soapbox away for the moment.
It's like, mate, I live here and I despair people's future.
I get that. Now tell me, what do you like here? Movies with a body part in the title, British TV, numbers and letters, First Wives Club, dance.
Thanks for listening, Phil.
I got you. I got you. Should we give me a call in the last hour?
Oh, no, I won't do that. I've already said won't. It's just a bit sad, I think. Look, I'll go for the letters and numbers things, Philip.
Numbers and letters.
That's right, yeah.
Question number 1. What is the only prime number that consists of 2 of the same digit?
Hang on, say that again.
What's the only prime number
that
consists of 2 of the same digit?
Oh, right, I got what you mean. That makes it even. Two of the same digit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, Phil. I'm going to go 2.
No, not 2.
I just don't worry. But,
thanks, Stewie. See you, mate. Bye-bye. Paul from Geelong. Hello, Paul.
How you going, Phil?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Pretty good. Question number 1, numbers and letters. What is the only prime number that consists of 2 of the same digit?
Prime number, 1 and the number are the only numbers we're divided by. And it's a 2-number digit, you say?
What is the only prime number that consists of 2 of the same digit?
I'm assuming it would have to be 11.
Correct. Very good. Yes. It is. It's 11. 11 is the only prime number that consists of 2 of the same digit, as in, 22 or 33 or 44, none of which are prime numbers.
No.
Question number 2, we're in numbers and letters. You can stay there or otherwise you can move.
Yeah, I managed to get through there, Phil, so we'll just stay there.
Numbers and letters. Question number 2. How many half dozens are there in a gross?
Well, a gross is 12 dozen. So half dozens in a gross would have to be 24.
Correct. You're good at mental maths, Paul.
I have my moments. Like everyone.
Question number three. Numbers and letters.
Yeah, better stay there, Phil. It's going to hit you with some letters now, aren't you?
I haven't said a thing. Not yet. Question number three. Which three letters? Oh, yes, we are. Which three letters link a Hercule Poirot novel, three of the wealthiest countries in South America, and a US TV channel?
Three letters.
Which three letters link those things? A Hercule Poirot novel, three of the wealthiest countries in South America, and a US TV channel.
I don't really know. There may be a channel in America called CBS, but just put that on the shelf for the moment. Let me think a bit more. Wealthy South American countries. I really don't know that either. The film, I'll just go CBS.
Not CBS, Paul.
Cheers,
no, thanks, mate. Cheers, mate. Thank you. No, not CBS. Louise in Box Hill. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Question number three, numbers and letters. Which three letters link a Hercule Poirot novel, three of the wealthiest countries in South America, and a US TV channel?
ABC?
Correct, yes, ABC. As in the ABC murders, Argentina, Brazil and Chile, they're known as the ABC countries, and American Broadcasting Company, ABC. Yep, there is an ABC in America. Question number four. Paul from Planeland says, I have to take off my UGG boots for these maths questions. Yes. Ray in the Bay had ABC. Good on you. Anne from Woy Woy had ABC. Louise, we're up to question number four. You can pick another category or you could stay there.
I'll go for movies.
All right. Movies with a body part in the title. Question number four. Which body part completes the title of a 1974 Sam Peckinpah film, Bring Me the What of Alfredo Garcia?
Head.
Correct.
Oh,
yes. Pretty predictable, I guess, wasn't it? Yes, Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, a Sam Peckinpah film from 1974. All right, question number five. Movies with a body part in the title. Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams was written for which 1984 Kevin Bacon film?
Footloose.
Correct. Footloose. You got to get loose. Question question number three, four, five. Question number six. Movies with a body part in the title. In which 1984 film does Indiana Jones enjoy a feast of eyeball soup and chilled monkey brains?
I've never seen one, so I'll just say The Temple of Doom.
What's the movie called?
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Correct.
Oh.
Very good, Louise. The body part being?
Eyeballs?
No, the body part is the temple. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Movies are the body part in the title. All right, question number seven. Staying here?
Yep.
Paul Newman plays the title role in which 1967 prison drama?
Cool Hand Luke? Is that what that's called?
Cool Hand Luke, correct. Very good. All right, question number eight. Movies with a body part in the title. Tina Turner sang the theme tune for which Bond film?
It would have to be For Your Eyes Only. Is that a movie?
Not correct.
Oh.
No. Thanks, Louise. Good on you. Bye-bye. Louise, a good player. 1, 2, 3, 4 on the trot. Very good. Annette had Cool Hand Luke. Ray in the Bay. Cool Hand Luke. Ain't nobody can eat 50 eggs. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Yes, quite a few people had that as well. Leroy in Penrith has the right answer here. Good. Ray in the Bay. No, not correct. Yes, there are quite a few possible answers for this, aren't there? Question number 8. All righty, where are we? Joe's on the road. G'day, Joe. G'day, Joe. Oh, no, Joe's disappeared. He was on the road, but now he's gone. Glenn from Penrith. G'day, Glenn.
Oh, g'day, Phil. How are you going, mate?
I'm exceptionally well, Glenn. Very well. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going through these Bond movies, but I'll just say the one I thought of first.
Tina Turner sang the theme tune for which Bond film?
I don't think it's right, but I'll just say Goldfinger.
Not correct. No,
I didn't think so.
I mean, it sort of fits the bill, doesn't it? But it's it fits the bill, but it's not. That's movies.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which one. I was just trying to. I'm half asleep and trying to think.
That's all right. Go fully asleep, Clint. Sleep's good.
Have
for
a good weekend, mate.
You too, mate. Yeah.
No, I'm going to listen to the rest of your show.
Good on you, Clint. See you, mate.
Well, see you, mate.
Sleep's good for you. 1-300-800. 222. Kylie from Daysdale. Hello, Kylie.
Oh, hello there. I haven't met you for
Where have you been?
The Swans. Oh, just recovering from cellulitis at the moment. So I'm
cellulitis?
Just,
oh, no.
Yep.
Okay.
Quite severe, mate, but we are on the mend. I have to get a heart ultrasound and liver ultrasound in coming weeks. So I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, all the best, Kylie.
Thanks, mate. Look, I'll take a run check and go the Swans for next week.
Oh, yes. Not this week. Not this week.
Have a good week.
You too, Kylie. Bye-bye. Yes, no Swannies this week. Of course, the semis are on and prelim finals next week when the Swans will either play Geelong or Fremantle. That match will be interesting, won't it? But it's on Friday night. All right, 1-300-800-222. Anne Marie in Dandenong. Hi, Anne Marie.
Hello, Phil.
Movies with a body part in the title. Tina Turner sang the theme tune for which Bond film?
All I've got is For Your Eyes Only.
No, not For Your Eyes Only. Sorry, Anne Marie. No, not For Your Eyes Only. Leck in Borough. Hello, Leck.
Oh, no.
Well,
I was going to say Thunderdome.
You were going to say what? Thunderdome?
Thunderdome. I know, but a Mad Max movie. It was filmed in Lara, which I used to call from, the last place I lived.
Oh, they filmed Thunderdome there, did they? Okay, right.
Well, no, they didn't film it there, but that's where Mad Max was originally filmed from.
Oh, the original.
So, God, Phil.
That answer doesn't really help you. It doesn't really help you, Lick, does it? No.
No, but I knew every answer before now. Always.
It always is the case, I know. Well, yeah, Lick, have a good few days off and we'll talk again.
Yeah, thank you,
See
Phil.
You, Lick.
Good night.
All right. Dino in Wagen has got the right answer. Bobsled says, I'd go for A Farewell to Arms, starring the Venus de Milo. Not bad, Bobsled. Not bad. Jane from Mudgee, not correct. Troy from Atherton. G'day, Troy.
Evening, Phil. How you doing?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. We're up to question number 8, movies with a body part in the title. Last one in this category. Tina Turner sang the theme tune for which Bond film?
I think it was GoldenEye.
Correct. Yes, it was. GoldenEye.
Yeah, I think Shirley Bassey sang the Goldfinger one.
She did. Shirley Bassey sang Goldfinger. The man with a Midas touch. Yes, Golden Eye being the body part, of course. All right, no more body parts, no more movies. So we've got British TV, Numbers and Letters, Dance Dance, First Wives Club.
Oh, if my mum was listening to the Mighty Quiz tonight, she'd be in the British TV category. She absolutely loved British television.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Watches them all.
What was her favourite one, Troy?
The one with Penelope Keith, where they were retired, I can't even think of the name. I never watched a lot of British TV shows. I used to watch Open All Hours and Are You Being Served. I enjoyed those two. And the two Ronnies. As a child, I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, same here. Same here. The two Ronnies were very terrific, weren't they?
They were. So I might go for... I might go back to numbers and letters,
Bogart. Numbers and letters, question number 9. Which 3-digit number is often stamped on pieces of sterling silver jewellery?
Oh, I should know this. I actually used to have a business where I cleaned jewellery.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, about 11 years ago. Oh, because I know that the gold and silver, different things have different numbers on them. The only thing I can think of is 925, because it's like the percentage, it's something to do with the percentage of the silver or something, I don't know.
That your answer, Troy?
Not 925.
Correct. Very good. Yes. Something's obviously, some memories have remained from the jewellery cleaning business. What happened to the jewellery cleaning business, Troy? Did people stop collecting jewellery or something, did they?
Yeah, no, I still do it.
You cleaned it so well that it never got dirty again.
Yeah, no, I do it sort of under the table.
Under the table. Don't mention the word jewellery and under the table, Troy. People will get worried.
The ATO might be listening. And I'm talking about memories. You're saying about September 11. I know it's still 24 hours. It's actually tomorrow night that... But I can still, there's certain things in your life. Like I'm 52 years of age, and it's probably the most, out of everything that I've experienced in life, that's the one thing that I can still remember like it was yesterday, every moment from when I first heard until I got home. And I was actually listening to the nightlife, and they reported that there'd been an incident where they believed a small plane had hit one of the World Trade Centers. But then they kept interviewing, they were doing an interview with somebody or whatever, their normal programming. And then all of a sudden they just said, listen, we've got to stop the interview, we're going straight to the newsroom. And I was at work, I got home about 2 hours later, and I can still remember walking into the bedroom, flicking the light on, waking my partner, and she said, what's going on? And I said, I'm going to turn the TV on, I'm just letting you know that World War III just started.
Yeah, I know. No, it was terrible. Yeah. I want to talk about it in the last hour, too, after the challenge, but you're right, Troy. I mean, it's one of those events, isn't it? The shooting of John Kennedy, the Port Arthur massacre, this one. People remember so well when they were there, when that news came through. Now, tell me, question number 10, what are you going to do? Numbers and letters. One left in numbers and letters, if you like. Otherwise, you could move.
Why not? Letters and numbers will do.
What is the fourth letter of the Greek alphabet?
Fourth letter or fourth number?
No, fourth letter of the Greek alphabet.
Yeah. Alpha, beta, delta. I'm just trying to think. Delta.
Correct. Yeah, delta. Delta is the fourth letter of the Greek alphabet. Okay, that's it for numbers and letters. Nice work. Someone said that Troy's cleaned the jewellery so well he rubbed the 925 off and went out of business.
Yeah, it's not worth much then.
No. I suppose people still buy expensive jewellery, do they? People have got some cash, I suppose, do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think jewellery stores still do a pretty good trade, especially in the big cities.
Yeah. With the exception, Troy, I reckon, of diamonds, which is one of those jewellery items that sort of... There's been a highly disruptive thing called laboratory-made diamonds, which, you know, I don't know what's... I mean, why would you buy a diamond anymore, in a sense, because they're all made in the lab, or they can be all made in the lab, you know?
Yeah, I think... Well, I actually personally, I prefer the lab-grown, as they call them, lab-grown diamonds, because you can get absolute perfection with them, which you just never do with, like, a perfect natural diamond is just so expensive, you know, only for the very rich.
Yeah.
You can't afford those sorts of things. So, but yeah, I used to clean any sort of jewelry. The only thing I didn't clean was pearls, because, as you know, pearls are a naturally grown thing. They're not they're not a gemstone or a metal, and that, and they can be damaged quite easily. Pearls, they're a lot more fragile than people realise. So I always stayed away from pearl jewelry.
So what you're saying, Troy, is if you attack them with a spray and wipe, you might be making a big mistake.
Yes, exactly.
Greg, by the way, and a bit of good news, Greg from Wonthaggi says, morning, Phil, I'm finally out of hospital after a week. I had surgery cancelled 6 times. Now booked in for next Friday. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, really enjoyed listening while I was sitting in Frankston Hospital. Gee, Greg, I'm sorry to hear that. Good luck next Friday. Troy, question 11. No more numbers and letters. So we've got a choice of British TV. You might have to go back to your dear old mum here. Or you could choose Dance Dance or First Wives Club.
Well, even though I'm not very good at dancing, I know a little bit about dance, so we'll give dancing a go.
Question number 11. Troy on the road. Question number 11. Dance, dance. Aerial invert, deadlift, shoulder mount, and handspring are advanced moves and terms from which form of dance?
Do you wish to start the break?
The only thing that I could think of is break dancing, where they spin around on their heads and stuff.
Yeah. No, not break dancing. No, Troy, we're not talking about Ray Gunn's favourite sport. No. See you, Troy. Bye.
No worries, Bill.
Thanks,
mate.
Bye bye. Not break dancing. Alan in Cumnock, no, that's not correct. Deb in Hobart says, don't forget to include the death of Princess Diana. Yeah, that's another one too. Sunday afternoon, wasn't that? Sunday afternoon that news came through. I seem to remember. I remember where I was. I was driving down the Hume Highway late Sunday afternoon when news of that came through. Tara's in the truck. G'day, Tara.
G'day, Phil. How are you tonight?
Not bad. Question number 11, dance, dance. Aerial invert, deadlift, shoulder mount, handspring are advanced moves and terms from which form of dance? It's not break dancing.
Ballet?
Not ballet, but I'm glad someone's got it out of the way. Thanks, Tara. See ya.
Thanks.
Bye. So, yeah, no, I'm glad someone's got it out of the way, but it's not ballet. No. Denise from Bundaloon. G'day, Denise.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
No, 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 no. No. What do you reckon? Aerial invert, deadlift, shoulder mount, handspring are advanced moves and terms from which form of dance?
Can you do that slowly? Okay, so we've got aerial lift and it's
aerial invert. Deadlift, shoulder mount, handspring.
Deadlift, shoulder mount. And the last one?
Handspring.
Handspring. Good God. All right, break dancing.
No, I've had break dancing. It's not break dancing.
Oh, right. So it's not break dancing. It's not ballet.
Hmm.
It's definitely not Highland dancing. It's not Irish dancing. It's not ballroom dancing. Oh my goodness. Oh, it sounds like something they were doing in, what's the movie, Don't Put Baby in the Corner. I feel useless, but no, I can't do it.
All right, Denise, have a good night. See ya.
Cheers.
Al in Hall's Gap says, oh, Phil, I do not call Ray Gunn's performance breakdancing. I think it's more interpretive dance. Yes. Yeah. Don't put pearls in Coca-Cola like we did with pennies, says Paul from Blaylands. No, well, that's true. But actually, pearls are another one, aren't they? Because they're grown these days. I wonder whether they are worth the same as they used to be. Probably not. Diamonds are a thing in particular, though. But once upon a time, you could only get one that was natural diamond, but they can make them now in the lab. Question number 11, Roz from Strathalbyn. Hi, Roz.
Okay, look.
What sort of dancing we got here?
Okay. I do not want to cheat, but my daughter, we were talking ages ago about handsprings and, you know, all those weird things. So I'll just go, is it handsprings, backsprings, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Okay, let's go handsprings.
Not handsprings. Sorry, Ross. No, not handsprings. Loz in Lynham. G'day, Loz.
G'day there.
Dance. An aerial invert, deadlift, shoulder mount, handspring are advanced moves and terms from which form of dance? It's not breakdancing. It's not ballet.
Aerial invert. So they sort of, like, they need, one of the things I'm thinking is maybe cheerleading, but then I don't even know if you call that dancing, or like, to turn yourself upright, you'd need like a pole. But is pole, I suppose pole dancing is called dancing, but so, pole dancing.
Pole dancing is correct. Yes, it is. Pole dancing. Oh. Well, yeah, I think you can call that dancing. Paul from Melbourne in the ACT says, which is where you're from, Loz. Paul says, the only question left then is what in God's name was Ray Gunn interpreting? Well, the lawn sprinkling, for example, Paul. I would have thought. 1-300-800-222. Bert says, Phil, I won a breakdancing comp at my local pub and I was only going to the toilet. Oh, yeah, good on you. Loz, question number 12. We're in Dance Dance. You can move to First Wives Club or British TV. Up to you.
Stay here, please.
For Dance Dance. Just Dance was the 2008 debut single from which musician?
Lady Gaga.
Correct, Lady Gaga. Question number 13. We're in Dance Dance.
Yes.
Which world-famous performance made its debut at the interval of Eurovision 1994, held in Dublin?
Oh, it's not Celtic Woman, it's the other one, Riverdance.
Correct. Yeah, Riverdance. Irish dancing of a kind. I mean, not of a kind, that form of Irish dancing. 1-300-800-222 is the number. All right, question number 14. We're in Dance Dance if you want.
Yes.
Quote, they all want me, they can't have me, is a line from which 90s song that became a global dance sensation?
Oh, God. The Macarena?
Correct. Very good, Loz. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I promise you won't hear from me again for till next week because I had a good run last night too, but let's see if we can keep my luck going.
Question number 15. We've got one left in dancing.
Yes, thank you.
The Infernal Gallop from Offenbach's Orpheus in the Underworld is most associated with which dance?
The Infernal Gallop. I've got no idea what that even means, but the waltz.
Not the waltz. Thanks, Loz. See ya. Not the waltz, no. Phil from Congress says, Phil, memorable for a different reason is Trump's $1 trillion bribe of the US public. I suspect there'll be an extra 10% of voters for their midterm. Yes, I wonder about that. This is Donald Trump promising $5,000 to every person in America if the Republicans win the midterms. I think this is illegal, isn't it? Ray in the Bay, that's very cruel, Ray. I'm not going to read that. Trevor from Croydon Park. G'day, Trevor.
Hi, Phil. Yeah, well, the Trump-appointed Supreme Court probably ain't going to say it's illegal.
I know. How you can corrupt systems so quickly is a salutary lesson, isn't it?
Another little thing about, diamonds, not so much... Well, they sell them anymore, but why do they keep mining them?
when you can just make them in the lab.
As a matter of fact, why do they keep diving for pearls?
I agree with that. I mean, I don't buy these things, and maybe people, you know, but given they can make diamonds in the lab, it does seem strange. Yeah.
And of course, the ultimate diamond, odd fact, is you can wear your loved ones as a tiny little diamond.
That's true. You can. Question 15, we're in Dance Dance. The infernal gallop from Offenbach's Orpheus in the Underworld is most associated with which dance?
Can-can.
The can-can.
Can-can.
Yes, the can-can. The can-can. All right, that's Dance Dance. Okay, so we've got 10 questions left, but there are only two categories, British TV and First Wives Club.
Oh, it's good. First Wives Club.
Annette Bening is the first wife of... who?
First wife, but not his first pincher, shall we say, Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty, correct, yes. Annette Bening is the first wife of the former playboy, Warren Beatty.
Are you sure it's former? Although they are getting on.
He's still with us, Warren Beatty, isn't he?
Yes.
Mm. Question. Well, he's probably not a former playboy in that sense, although your ability to play
must
surely decline. Question 17, First Wives Club.
Yeah.
What was the name of Napoleon Bonaparte's first wife?
This was a princess of Austria, I think. It was Marie-Louise.
No, not Marie-Louise. No. Okay. Sorry, Trev, thank you. No. Warren Beatty's 89, so he is still with us. I don't think there'd be much playboying at 89, would there? I don't think so. I mean, you know, good luck to whatever he wants to do, but I don't think so. He may have wishes, but no opportunities, I would imagine. 1-300-800-222. Question 17, we're in First Wives Club. Who's going to get us going here? Cameron from South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
Hello, how are you? Good?
Yeah, not bad. Cameron, not bad at all. What do you reckon? What was the name of Napoleon Bonaparte's first wife?
Now, you're going to rule me out if I can't give you her first name.
What, you can't say Mrs. Bonaparte, Cameron.
come to think of it, I don't know her second name either.
No good.
Speak to you later.
See ya.
Speak to you later.
Bye. See you later. Hugh Hefner died. He was 91 when he cashed in his chips. Alrighty. We've got lines free if you want to grab one. 1-300-800-222. Lines are free. You will get through. John's in hospital. What's up, John?
I dodged a bullet. I was about to go to Italy 2 weeks ago and walked back from having coffee and felt a bit of a pain in my chest.
Yeah.
So it was indigestion. Left it for a few days, came back again. Had a 90% widowmaker and an 80% widowmaker blocked artery.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So I had just had open heart bypass last week.
Wow. Gee, how many bypasses did they do, John?
A double. So took I've got a nice slice from the back of the knee to the ankle, which was one, and the other one that they've taken inside the chest cavity.
You are a lucky man, John.
I tell you what, that's what they say, and don't disregard anyone out there, don't disregard those little chest pains.
Tell me what it felt again, because I think a lot of people, that's right, do you know something is wrong? What did it feel like?
I normally do that walk. It's only 300 metres from the cafe to my house.
Yeah.
A little bit of a hill. But I felt a pressure that I hadn't felt before. And it went away after I stopped. It went away. But I had these pains under both arms. Now, usually a heart attack, you're supposed to have a pain in the left arm, but I had some pains under the right and left, which didn't seem right. And I had continued to train with my trainer the subsequent days, but obviously I wasn't training hard enough to to let this thing take hold again until a couple of days later. So went and got a test, and angiogram said, yep, you've got a 90 and an 80% blocked artery.
Wow.
So
you are a lucky man. You are
very
lucky.
Catastrophic, yep.
So, but Ben, just as a lesson to others, though, John, it was a pain that was unusual, was it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Get it checked out, everyone. Get it checked out. I mean, because the difference between where John is now in hospital with a bypass, very successful operation, and you know, falling flat on your face is not very far.
Yep.
When are you out? When are you out, John?
Out in a few days, I think.
Okay.
I'll probably be out Monday. Yeah.
Feeling okay?
Yeah. You feel a bit different because there's they've had to split your sternum.
Well, actually, John, they put the Black and Decker through your sternum. That's why you feel a bit different.
So you've been keeping me well entertained overnight, mate.
Oh,
so
good on you. Thank you. Good on you, John. A friend of mine had one, and he was back at home, and I burst into the door. I said, oh, thank heavens, so glad to see you. What a fantastic thing. Went to give him a big hug. He said, oh, no.
Dislike hugs.
Yeah, dislike.
Hugs and try not to sneeze.
No sneezing, no hugs, no laughing. Sorry. Question 17. Wife's club. What was the name of Napoleon Bonaparte's first wife?
Josephine,
correct. Yes, not tonight, Josephine.
Yeah.
Well, by all accounts, John, from the friends of mine, I've got two of them have had these things. The road to recovery is pretty reasonable, and you know, you'll be back in good shape from it.
Yep. Maintain the weight and keep moving forward.
Yes, exactly. James from Audi Alex says it's very hard to laugh, cough, or sneeze. Okay, don't do any of those things.
No.
Question number 18. We're in First Wives Club, but you can move to British TV if you want.
Let's go with First Wives.
First Wives. One of my texters says, I just threw the bacon out. Well, as we know, I've discussed this on the program many times. Much as I love bacon, and I'm going to have some this weekend, because I haven't had it for a while, you really should only have it on your birthday, so they say.
Well, the day of my birthday was the day of the operation.
Question, did you have heart disease in your family, John, or was this unusual?
None whatsoever.
And by the sound of it, you were doing the right things, working out and all that?
Yep, because I got a bit of asthma, so I was trying to maintain my lung capacities and stuff. But I tell you what, I disregarded it as a croissant and coffee Gaviscon indigestion.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased you're still with us. Question 18. We're in First Wives Club. If you can stay or you go to British TV, up to you.
Let's try British TV.
British TV, question number 18. Which BBC series of the early 2000s about a young restaurateur trying to restore his family's estate in the Scottish Highlands takes its name from a painting of a stag by Edwin Landseer?
Jeez. I would have no idea. First thing that came was Fawlty Towers, but it's not that at all. No, I'll have to give it restaurants. What was it again?
Which BBC series of the early 2000s about a young restaurateur trying to restore his family's estate in the Scottish Highlands takes its name from a painting of a stag by Edwin Landseer?
No, I have no idea. The only thing I would know is that Doc Martin thinks I'll just say Doc Martin for the hell of it.
No. Okay. Thanks, John. Hey, John, hope you make a sterling recovery.
Thanks, mate.
Keep pumping. Thanks. Bye-bye. It's a salutary lesson, isn't it? That's the thing, because I think as we've discussed on the program before, people who have heart attacks, this idea that you always, you know, someone can always get you going again, is just not right. It's just not right. As Monica would know, Monica's an emergency nurse from the Hunter Valley. G'day, Mon.
Hey there, Phil. 2 years ago, my husband and I were going up to Tamworth Country Music Festival, as we do every year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long and the short of it was, it wasn't right. You know, we were walking along and he just wasn't himself. Heart attack, and then the next thing he was flown to Newcastle, and he became a member of the Zipper Club, they call it.
Yeah.
They get the big cut in their attack and bypass surgery. So I'm just grateful we had it happen at Tamworth, which is an excellent coronary care unit. Whereas in our little rural areas, it's often a bit of a delay to work out how serious the person is.
Yes, indeed. Julie says Libby Trickett was on TV tonight describing the heart attack she had. Women experience pain differently from men. Yeah, they do. They do. They do. They can be more diffuse and not necessarily as concentrated in one spot. All right, Mon, question 18. We're up to which BBC series of the early 2000s about a young restaurateur trying to restore his family's estate in the Scottish Highlands takes its name from a painting of a stag by Edwin Landseer?
I have no idea, so I'm going to say it's called Deer Looking at the Kilt Skirt Wondering What's Underneath It.
Thank you, Mon.
Am I right?
Strangely not. Strangely not. See you, Monica. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, dear. All righty. Where are we? Who's been hanging on here? Frank in Richmond. G'day, Frank.
Hello.
G'day. Question number 18, British TV. Which BBC series of the early 2000s about a young restaurateur trying to restore his family's estate in the Scottish Highlands takes its name from a painting of a stag by Edwin Landseer?
I don't know. Would it be The Stag's Head or...?
Not The Stag's Head, no, but it's a fair enough guess at it, but it's not The Stag's Head. Graham from Karrinyup. G'day, Graham.
G'day, Philip. I know this, but not tonight, mate. I'll pass on it.
Okay, thanks, Graham. Bye-bye. What about Enid? Enid in Perth will know the answer to this. Hi, Enid.
Well, I think I do. I did have Scottish ancestors, and my maiden name was Cameron, so I hope I do. I think it's Monarch of the Glen.
Correct. Yes, the TV show was called Monarch of the Glen, and it took its name from a painting of a deer, a stag, by Edwin Landseer.
The only reason I know the paintings is that my music teacher used to have that one on her wall.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know, it's a well-known painting. If I showed it to you, you'd know what it was. Question number 19, British TV, or you could go to First Wives Club.
Oh, British TV would be better than the other one, I think.
Question number 19. Complete Francis Urquhart's iconic catchphrase from House of Cards, right? Quote, "You might very well think that. I
have no idea."
No. Boom, boom.
That's
boom.
The best answer I can give.
Boom, boom, Enid. Thank you. Bye. See.
Bye.
That's very funny. 1-300-800-222. Kitty from Ballina says, "Yeah, my husband. My husband sadly died of a heart attack out of the blue after a bad bout of the flu." Yeah, I know. I know. I think there's a popular belief based on, you know, hospital shows on TV that if you have a heart attack, you always recover, or if you can get the defibrillator onto you or someone put CPR on your chest, it's always better. It's not. The facts are otherwise. Matt from Holland Park. Hi, Matt.
Phil.
Hello.
Hey, how you going, Phil?
Pretty good, man. Question 19 we're up to. Complete Francis, we're in British TV, complete Francis Urquhart's iconic catchphrase from House of Cards. Quote, "You might very well think that. I
don't agree."
No, not don't agree. No. Helen from Healesville. Hello, Helen.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm very well. Helen? Complete Francis Urquhart's iconic catchphrase from House of Cards. You might very well think that.
I was going to say don't agree, so I'll change it to do not.
No. Thank you, Helen. Bye-bye. No, it's definitely a thing. Wendy from Southwest Rocks. G'day, Wendy.
Hello.
Question number 19. British TV. Complete Francis Urquhart's iconic catchphrase from House of Cards. You might very well think that.
This is a total guess. It'll be something like, I can't comment.
Not correct, Wendy. Thank you. We will need total accuracy here. KD from Coondrook. Hi, KD.
Hi, how are you going?
Pretty good. Question 19. Complete Francis Urquhart's iconic catchphrase from House of Cards. You might very well think that.
I have no idea.
No.
But
no.
I'll say, just leave it.
All right, Katy. No, we, as I say, we'll need absolute accuracy here. Linda from Perth.
Hello.
Hi. You might very well think that. I
cannot comment.
Not correct. As I say, we will need absolute accuracy here. Charlie from Mount Druitt. Lines are free if you want to get through. 1-300-800-222.
Good to be with you, Phil, and the listeners.
What do you reckon? Complete Francis Urquhart.
Going back to your caller about his episode, and I wish him all the best. So I woke up one morning and I had a bit of a pressure on my chest and it didn't feel right and I didn't think much of it until it wouldn't go away. So I decided to walk up to the hospital, which is about maybe 2K. And, they put me straight in and the doctor said, I think you're having a heart attack, Mr. Harris. So they put not at Mount Druitt, but they took me down to Blacktown and, 3 stents later.
Yeah, well, you're still with us, Charlie.
That's it.
Good on you, mate.
And it's been fine ever since. Actually, I gave blood today.
It's a good operation. Hey, tell me, complete Francis Urquhart's iconic catchphrase from House of Cards. You might very well think that.
Just do it.
No. Thanks, Charlie. No. Vicky in Mackay. G'day, Vicky. G'day, Vicky.
Hello, yes.
Question 19. Complete Francis Urquhart's iconic catchphrase from House of Cards. You might very well think that.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Correct. You might very well think that. I couldn't possibly comment. Yes. Yeah, marvellous phrase. All right, question number 20. We're in British TV, but you can move to First Wives Club if you like.
No, stick with British TV.
The debonair Lothario, Lord Flashheart, is a recurring character from which BBC sitcom?
Flashheart. Can't think of the name of it.
No good?
What was it? What is it? Fools and Horses? No, I don't know. No.
Thanks, Vicky. Bye-bye. See you later. Anne from Ascot Vale in Queensland. G'day, Anne.
Hi. I know it.
The debonair Lothario, Lord Flashheart, is a recurring character for which BBC sitcom?
I'm sorry, no. I've missed the last question then.
You wanted I couldn't possibly comment.
Yes, the truth. Some people think it's so, but I know it is. I know it.
I see. Bye-bye. Thanks, and bye-bye. Well, I'm not sure what she was talking about. Chris from Wollonga. G'day, Chris.
Hi.
Question number 20. The debonair Lothario, Lord Flashheart, is a recurring character from which BBC sitcom?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
No good, okay. Thank you. Michael from Warrnambool. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Question 20, the debonair Lothario Lord Flashheart is a recurring character from which BBC sitcom?
Yeah, a bit of good news for you, Kardec John, I think his name was. I had bypass 36 years ago today.
Good on you.
And there's no intervention since, blah, blah, blah.
Good
anyway,
on you.
Anyway, I'm still going, so good luck to you.
Good on you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I see that. You don't know the answer to this?
No.
Okay. Good on you, Michael. Thank you. And may you have many years ahead of you too. Rod in Bunbury's got the right answer. Linda from Brunswick East has got the right answer. Mike from Perth has got the right answer. Alex from Bondi. Hi, Alex.
Hello. Good evening. Would the answer be the League of Gentlemen?
No, it's not the League of Gentlemen. Sorry, Alex. No, it's not the League of Gentlemen. Does anybody know this? 1-300-800-222. As I say, we have lines free. We're up to question 20. Only 6 questions left. You could win from here. 1-300-800-222. Anyone going to help me out? The debonair Lothario Lord Flashheart is a recurring character from which BBC sitcom? Mm-hmm. We're in a category called British TV. Who is up for this? Anybody? 1-300-800-222. Kate from Blackheath. Hi, Kate.
Oh, gee, that was fast.
Oh, no. No one knows the answer. No one knows the answer, but
know
you do.
Question. Is it? Are we still talking about Blackadder?
We are talking about Lord Flashheart.
I love that character. It's Rick Mayall. Lord Flashheart. Blackadder.
Blackadder, yes, it is. The show is Blackadder. What a funny show it is. Yeah, exactly. Mm. All right, question 21. We're in British TV.
Yes okay, I might be.
Who was the first actor to play Doctor Who?
He's got that white hair. I never watched Doctor Who. I don't know who they're talking about. No, I'm gone.
No, you're gone.
See ya.
See ya, Kate. Bye-bye. All right, we're up to question number 21. We'll take some answers straight after the latest news.
The Mighty Challenge.
Question 21. We've only got 5 left. Who's going to kick us off? Tracy from Mooney Ponds. Hi, Trace.
Phil, how are you going?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I think. Question 21. We were in British TV. Who was the first actor to play Doctor Who?
Oh, God, I thought I was doing the Blackadder. Was it Blackadder?
It was Blackadder, yeah. Lord Flashheart, the well-known debonair Lothario, was a recurring character from Blackadder, yeah. No, we had that one answered, so this one was British TV. Who was the first actor to play Doctor Who?
I have no idea, but it was Star Trek that I was waiting for when the plane hit the World Trade Center. So I'm going to ring back and talk to you about that.
Okay. Thanks, Trace.
Thank you.
Now give us a call back and tell me. Pam from Mitchelton. G'day, Pam.
Hi, Philip. How are you today?
Pretty good.
Morning.
Morning, yes. Question 21. Who was the first actor to play Doctor Who?
I think it might have been William Hartnell.
Correct, it was. It was William Hartnell. Someone's tech. Jeff the truckie says he had white hair because it was a black and white TV show. Black and white TV. I don't think so, Jeff, but thank you. All right, question 22. One left in British TV. Otherwise, you can go to First Wives Club.
I'll try First Wives Club.
First Wives Club. Question 22. Maureen Cox was the first wife of which Beatle?
Maureen Cox. I'll go Ringo Starr.
Correct.
Very good.
Very good. Yeah, Maureen Cox was Ringo's first wife. Question number 23, Pam.
Yeah.
Staying with First Wives?
Yes, please.
Which thriller by Daphne du Maurier revolves around the unseen first wife of Maxim de Winter?
Oh. No, sorry.
No good? All right, Pam, thank you anyway. Joy from Logan in Queensland. G'day, Joy.
Oh, hello. How are you going?
Pretty good. Question 23. Which thriller by Daphne du Maurier revolves around the unseen first wife of Maxim de Winter?
I really know this, but I can't think of the name. I do know it, but
no,
yeah, it don't think it's going
not
to
not going to pop up.
Blackadder, but haha.
Thanks, Joy. See ya. Bye. Appreciate you taking part anyway. Let's try Paul from Wensleydale. G'day, Paul.
Oh, g'day, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Question 23. First Wives Club. Which thriller by Daphne du Maurier revolves around the unseen first wife of Maxim de Winter?
No, you got me there. I've got no idea.
No idea? Okay. No. Thanks, Paul. Good on you. Mark from Holland Park, I see you. We'll come to you shortly. Ray from Embledon in Perth. G'day, Ray.
Hey, how you going?
Not bad. What are we after here?
I wouldn't have a clue.
No worries. Thank you. Fair enough. A fair enough answer. Richard from Flinders Park. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. First Wives Club. Which thriller by Daphne du Maurier revolves around the unseen first wife of Maxim de Winter?
No idea.
No good?
I was concerned for your aging clientele not knowing Blackadder.
Oh, Richard. Thank you, see you, mate. Bye-bye. Thank you. Mark from Holland Park. G'day, Mark.
Hey, hello. Hello.
Not bad. What do you reckon? Which thriller by Daphne du Maurier revolves around the unseen first wife of
William
Maxim de Winter?
But that's five questions ago. Got no idea on this
no
one.
No one? Okay. We're drawing a blank on this one. Does anyone know it for us? Steve from Wollongong. G'day, Steve.
Hey, Phil. How are you going?
Pretty good. First Wives Club. Which thriller by Daphne du Maurier?
I think it's Rebecca.
Correct. Yes. It's called Rebecca. Very good. Two left. First Wives Club. One in First Wives Club and one in British TV. What's it going to be?
I'll take British TV, I think.
British TV. Question 24. The Bill was set around which fictional police station in East London?
I'm one of those people that just didn't watch The Bill, unfortunately. There's not many of us I wouldn't have thought, but no. Eastgate? I'll have a crack.
Not Eastgate. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Not Eastgate, no. John in Perth. G'day, John.
Yes, hi, Phil.
Hi.
Look, I'm sorry, I don't know that. If the question was Dixon of Dot Green, that would be dead easy.
But that was a good one, too. Off. Yeah, that was it.
I was ready to answer the Francis Urquhart one, because I knew it word for word. I actually used it myself one or two times. But I brainlessly decided to do an upgrade on my mobile just at the critical moment. So anyway, it's all set up now. Sorry I can't help.
No worries, John. Let's talk some other time. Thank you. Appreciate it. Where are we? Steve from Northam. G'day, Steve.
G'day, mate.
The bill was set around which fictional police station in East London?
Well, you know how you were talking about Clancy from The Overflow the other day?
Yeah.
You know, I can nearly recite that whole poem now.
Well, I might get you to do it one time for me, Steve, but not now.
Yeah, no, not now. But I'm the second person in the world that never watched The Bill either. can't help you, mate.
See you, Steve. All right, there's probably plenty of you. Kitty from Ballina. G'day, Kitty.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
The Bill was set around which fictional police station in East London?
I love The Bill, but I cannot remember or recall the police station.
No good. No all good. Righty. All righty. Let's try Emma in Pasadena. Hi, Emma. Hi, Emma. No, Emma's disappeared on me. What about Linda from Brunswick East? G'day, Linda.
Hi.
The Bill was set around which fictional police station in East London?
Sun Hill?
Correct. It was Sun Hill. Exactly. All right. You've got here. Linda, question 25. We're in First Wives Club. Nancy Barbato was the first wife of which American entertainer?
Ah, Nancy. I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe Frank Sinatra.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, Frank Sinatra.
Correct. There you go. It was.
I was thinking it was his daughter. Isn't his daughter's name Nancy too?
It is. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. It was, yes, Nancy Mabato was the first wife of Frank Sinatra. Thanks, Linda. Good on you. We'll put some get some details from you and get this out to you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.